This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Peter Sepp, Vice President for Communications at the National Taxpayers Union. While most of the attention on Capitol Hill is focused on health care and to some extent the war in Afghanistan, the debate over climate change legislation continues as well. On Tuesday, the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, chaired by California Senator Barbara Boxer, held hearings on the issue, covering a wide gamut of opinions related to what the impact of this legislation would actually be. And Pete joins me now to take a closer look at the specific economic impact of this, especially on all of our wallets. And Pete, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
What did you notice from this committee hearing today? How open were the senators to what the experts had to say? And what did you notice about the tenor of the questions?
Well, of course, we have a ton of witnesses at this hearing, and there's going to be a whole lot of back and forth and probably a lot of follow-up questions following all the testimonies. But I think that by and large, the hearing witnesses are going to fall into two camps. Either it is economically too expensive for very little return, or there's no expense that can be spared to do something that might reverse or at least slow down global temperature increases that advocates believe are being caused by man-made carbon dioxide emissions. I think that we're going to see much more zealotry on the part of supporters of the cap and trade bill. I noticed that definitely from some of the witnesses who are testifying. I think that unlike the health care reform debate, where there are a lot of very compartmentalized interests who only care about a piece of the bill, the environmental community that supports cap and trade is extremely ardent about it, very, very enthused over the prospect of the bill's passage.
Pete, we have talked in the past with Louisiana Senator David Vitter, who says this has basically been a process by which the Republicans were frozen out, and it's basically going to be a party line vote most likely on this. Is that the way it seemed from the way the questions came down today?
Well, on the panel itself, of course, there are pretty sharp divisions over what a cap and trade bill should look like. Now, in the full Senate, I think that may be a very different story. We, of course, have Republican Senator Lindsey Graham saying that while he's opposed to most of the provisions of the Boxer-Kerry bill, he is not necessarily opposed to some kind of cap-and-trade regime if it were properly drafted, in his own opinion. That could very well set the stage for some kind of compromise on the floor of the Senate that would attract Republicans. I also believe it's quite possible that even if the version comes out on a party line vote from the Environment and Public Works Committee in substantially the same form, there still might be a few Republicans who would hop on the bill, as well as some Democrats who would have to stay off. So I'm not sure this is quite as partisan a division that you're seeing with the health care reform legislation.
We're talking with Pete Sepp of the National Taxpayers Union. And Pete, I know your primary focus in this debate is the impact on the taxpayer and what kind of tab they could be looking at, either directly or indirectly. What's the best model for figuring this out? We've heard so many different estimates about direct taxes, about energy costs passed along to consumer because of the penalties placed on energy producers and so forth. How do we put this into a model and figure out what the cost is really going to be?
I don't think anyone knows what the eventual cost will be, because there's a great deal of authority being given to regulatory agencies in the executive branch, like the Environmental Protection Agency, to monitor the implementation of the bill and, this is a key thing, adjust some of the limits or call for adjustment of those limits if necessary. I think that depending on how the Environmental Protection Agency uses its powers, we could very well see costs in the several thousands of dollars per year for families in terms of higher energy prices, higher prices on goods and services, perhaps the revenues that would be raised from the trading of the emission permits. All of that has to be taken into account. Yet supporters of the bill are pointing to estimates by Congressional Budget Office and EPA saying it'll only cost families a few hundred dollars a year. Those seem to rely on very limited modeling, taking into account only a portion of the emission permits being auctioned, as well as taking into account what's called discounted value, which is an economic measurement that can look very deceptive.
And Pete, in terms of this debate going forward now, and we're going to hear so many different things from both sides, obviously those in support of the Boxer Carry legislation are going to tout the fact that they think it'll create green jobs, it'll help the environment, it'll reduce our dependency on foreign sources of energy. Others will talk about how this is a wallop to the wallet, so to speak, and all it's going to do is unilaterally cripple us, economically speaking, by going towards renewable sources, which we don't have enough of to make us viable in that area yet. So what should people be listening to as they sift through the rhetoric?
Well, there are several key things people should be paying attention to. Number one, they should be listening as to just how many of these emissions permits are going to be given away at the beginning and how many are going to be priced. Also, they should be paying attention to any estimates on how high energy prices might go for traditional transportation fuel-based industries as well as electricity-generating industries. Third, they ought to also be paying attention as to whether other nations are going to be engaged aggressively to abide by the same kinds of rules. We're very uncertain over whether that's going to happen. And finally, they need to be aware of the fact that as many permits or grants or payments that might be given to poorer households to help offset the effects of the costs of this plan, that's still coming out of the United States Treasury one way or another, and it's going to consist of borrowed money. So every time we may decide to give rebates, for example, to help people afford their electricity bills, well, that's either going to be paid for from auctions of emission permits, that's taking money out of other companies and indirectly consumers, or higher taxes, which will be felt immediately by citizens, or perhaps borrowing, which really means, well, just taxes on citizens in the future.
So just to sum up here as we wrap it up, Pete, yes or no, we'll have less money in our wallets if this is approved?
We will definitely have less money in our wallets.
The national debt will be larger, smaller, or not impacted much by this passage?
Assuming the permits are priced right, the national debt won't be impacted incredibly much by this passage. But again, if we start making promises to exempt the poor or give rebates, that will add to the national debt.
Very interesting. Pete, we'll certainly keep following the debate. Thanks for your time and your insight, as always.
My pleasure.
Peter Sapp is Vice President for Communications at the National Taxpayers Union. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.